Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. With Mobile's award-winning garden expert and chief horticultural advisor for Mobile Botanical Gardens, Bill Finch. We'll talk about living and growing on the Gulf Coast. Now, your personal yard and garden consultant, here's Bill Finch.
Hey, welcome back. It's a beautiful Gulf Coast Sunday morning. Gonna get a little chillier next week, but that's okay. We need that. Let's talk about some of your questions. Someone sent me a picture of browning leaves on the edges of kale. And that's what we're going to call tip burn. And let's talk about why tip burn happens. It's often the result of cold weather. It is, in a way, I think tip burn, there's probably a lot of different causes. It's not a disease. It's just bad environmental conditions. And one of the things that happens with tip burn is that the edges of the leaves lose heat and lose heat and moisture more quickly than the center part of the plant. So when the temperatures get cold, two things happen. The plants are losing heat. That's not a good thing. More importantly, though, the plants are losing moisture on the edges of those leaves, and they desiccate and dry out and get a little bruised by cold temperatures. That's what's happening. Is it a bad problem? No. What do? You don't eat the holes, as I like to say. You just eat around them. And don't worry about that. You can clip that off if you want to. It's not going to hurt, but it's just a little bit of bruising on the edges of those leaves that was caused by the cold weather. So this is a great segue to what I want to talk about. Chris has sent me a picture of his Jiffy greenhouse vegetable greenhouse kit. You know, Chris, it's going to work just fine. And I don't know that you have to have a Jiffy kit, but Jiffy kits probably work out just fine too. Let's talk about them when we come back. And we're going to talk about what are some of the best ways of starting things. Vanna, though, has been patiently waiting. Vanna, are you there?
Sir, I have two quick questions, I hope. I only told him about one. And that is, I had one paper white narcissus, you know, in a little jar, and it bloomed beautifully. And now that it's finished blooming, I want to know, can I save this somehow? May I put those roots in some soil and let the leaves die down, and maybe it'll come and bloom again next year?
Yes. How is that? I rarely just say yes, but I could just say yes. It works out really well. So, but of course, I have to tell you a story. It's really interesting because people around Mobile have been growing, well, the ground around Mobile has been growing paper whites for a long time. And I would go around old yards in Mobile, and there were these old varieties of paper whites that don't even have names anymore that have been growing around Mobile for years. I mean, I'm talking about centuries. It's just that they're around the houses. They were never put there. They were never, you know, you couldn't go to Walmart or something and buy these things. There's one called that's kind of it's a mid-sized paper white that is very fragrant, that blooms in the middle of winter every year in yards in the older parts of Mobile. It's weird, and nobody really has a name for it. I call it the ghost of Satchel Paige. Satchel Paige was the great baseball player from Mobile, and I would see it in the neighborhoods where Satchel Paige grew up and where he used to play baseball. You would see it all over the place in yards and in hedgerows. So, yes, paper whites do very well here. Some do better than others, probably. Some will come back better than others, but the chances are very good that your paper white will do much better than most daffodils that you plant. So I'd give it a shot. No need to throw it out.
No, it's got 10, like, 2 feet long green stems. Beautiful. So should I put, now that it's finished and I cut the bloom off, should I put the bulb in some soft, moist soil, like Miracle-Gro soil mix or something, or...
Well, so if you're gonna, so this is a good question. It's a good question. Now that's an interesting question. I think I'd go ahead and put it in a pot. I do think, or if you could put it on the south side of your house, that would be fine.
Sure.
But it does need to get a little bit. It's been inside. It's been warm. It doesn't have any of the antifreeze that plants develop once they're exposed to a little bit of cool temperatures. Mm-hmm. So you could approach this two ways. One, okay. you could set the plant outside. As long as it's not freezing at night, just set the plant outside and let it get really used to the cool for about a week, and then plant it directly in the garden. I think that's probably what I would do. I think that's what I would do, is just set the plant outside, let it get used to the cool weather, and then after about a week, assuming we have it, you know, bring it in if it gets down much down into 28 degrees, but you probably won't.
I'd bring it in if it did.
Yeah, and then put it out after about a week to 10 days, because by that time it will have adapted to the cool temperatures.
Okay. Now, other very quick question, could I grow arugula in a pot?
Yes, you can. Very
and
easily.
And how long would it produce its leaves during the year? How many months out of the year would I get something to eat?
Yes, so arugula goes to seed. And it goes to seed more quickly in spring than it does in fall. If you planted it in say August or September in a pot, mm-hmm. you'd be picking August, September, October, November, December, January, and then February, and then probably sometime in February, March, it would go to seed. If you planted it right now, you'd probably pick it for January, February, March, and then in April, it's going to go to seed. So you'll get 3 months, and then you just plant some more.
Sure. Okay. Any variety, or is that just it?
You know, I've grown a lot of different varieties, and they all seem to be pretty good. And you know what? Here's what I bought a bunch of seed this year, and then I, like a lot of people who grow arugula, I noticed that all my arugula had gone to seed, and I had so much arugula coming up wild from seed that I couldn't possibly pick it all. So I just said, "Shoot, I'll just pick what I got."
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of growing whatever comes up, and they're all really good.
Some are
a little stronger, but they're all good.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Hey, Vanda, the only other thing I'd say is hot weather. Arugula doesn't do that well. You're not going to get a lot of arugula
right.
in the
like
middle of summer.
Greens.
Yeah, yeah. Good.
Okay.
Good to hear from you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye. Yeah, arugula. It, really this fine thing that you can do all sorts of things with it. It's really wonderful in salads. If you've got sandwiches, if you've got leftover turkey, nothing cures leftover turkey better than arugula, unless it's mustard greens and leftover turkey. Absolutely amazing. It will transform your leftover turkey. Really good to have that. Great for any sandwich, arugula, and so easy to grow. Mine reseeds all the time. Some of you have sent me pictures and said, "What is this?" And I said, "Oh, it's your last year's arugula gone to seed." And it does, and it comes up again, and you got fresh arugula just from having sown it last year, and it's great. Nothing wrong with it. There are a bunch of different varieties out there. I've tried several of them. I can't tell the difference. I don't know. I'm sure there are some differences, but they all seem pretty good. The perennial arugulas do not do so well. I have a very hard time with the perennial arugulas, but the ones that the standard arugula, rocket arugulas with the broader leaves, bigger leaves, easy to harvest, They do great, and they are not they're not going to be perennial. They're going to go to seed. Interesting thing about things going to seed, for your information, when you plant in spring, most plants go to seed more quickly because the days are getting longer. That's why if you plant your cilantro and your arugula in fall, you can harvest it over much longer times because the days are getting shorter and they don't like going to seed. We'll be back. The sun could never fall away. The bliss that plays around me. Let it rain. Let it rain. Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106. All right. Just getting my beans in order. Got a whole year's worth of beans to think about. Got a bunch of cucumbers to think about. Thinking about your questions, too. Somebody says, is this the best time of year to transplant variegated cast iron plants? There is almost never a bad time to transplant cast iron plants. Some of them are a little more sensitive than others, but they're all pretty good, and they're pretty tough customers. And yeah, they do just fine to transplant them this time of year. You'll be just fine. And probably, could you mess up at any time of year? Honestly, no. I don't think there's ever a time of year when it would be hard to transplant cast iron plants. I suppose they've got some, their roots tend to hold on to moisture pretty well. You could do it anytime, but now's a great time. It's a fine time. No problem. No problem at all. It's an easy question. Cast iron plants make it easy because they really are easy. You know, a lot of us, there's those kind of plants that you grow up with. You see them so much, you just kind of ignore them. And cast iron plants are kind of that way. They're just kind of background, and you kind of get tired of them, and then people don't pay any attention to them, and then they get really ratty looking, and you think, ooh, I hate cast iron plants. But, you know, actually, cast iron plants are kind of neat, and there are some really cool ones out there. I even have developed an appreciation for the evergreen ones. You just have to realize that they need a little care. I mean, they're so careless. They're so little in need of care that you tend to forget about them. And then after a while, they get really ratty looking because the edges get torn in the wind and they kind of dry out a little bit and the leaves get old. And then so just every now and then, every couple of years, just refurbish them. Just cut them back to the ground. This is a good time of year to do it. They'll come back in spring. They'll be really pretty. That's one easy way to do it if you don't want to go through and try to pick out all of them at once. Or pick out the bad ones and, you know, just cut them all to the ground. Just mow them this time of year. January, February, they'll come up like gangbusters in late February. And let them go for two or three or four more years and then cut them down again. Give them a little fertilizer. It'll help. With cast iron plants, just a little bit of fertilizer can certainly help. Doesn't need a lot, just every now and then. And mulch them if you can. That'll make them really pretty, too. They'll do really well with a good mulch. Cast iron plants. Thing to do. So how do we start seeds? So Alicia sent me, and Cliff, we're going to get to you, too. But Alicia sent me a formula that she has. And it includes, she's got a bunch of things in it. So, Alicia, I read this carefully. You got pine bark, which is great. And let me say, in any mix, you really want about 75% pine bark. It works so well. So you want about three-fourths of that mix to be pine bark. And when we say pine bark, for those of you who don't know, look at your little fingernail. Now, unless you got really long fingernails, but look at your littlest fingernail. And not the part that you've let grow out really, really long, but just the part right there on top of your finger. That's as big as you want the pieces to be. So we're not talking about big chunks. We're talking about pieces the size of your little pinky's fingernail. are smaller, and that's fine, and it's great. That's the perfect size for growing things in, even for seeds. They'll do pretty well in that. There should be enough fines in it for that to work out really well. So about 75% pine bark. Peat moss is fine. It's out there. It's something you can do. You can go with 25%. The other quarter can be just be peat moss if you want it to be. But let me tell you some things that it shouldn't be. It should not be dirt from the ground. There's a lot of reasons why it shouldn't be, but you don't want to go out and dig dirt. You don't want it to be sand under no circumstance. Do you want to add sand to the mix? And let me tell you why. And I'm not smart enough to figure this out. I am only lucky enough to have good friends in the nursery industry who used to use sand. And what they discovered is that when you mix sand and pine bark or anything else, really, the sand filters down to the bottom of the pot. And you get this layer of wet sand at the bottom of your pot, which is bad for everything. So the sand really has no benefit. It is not good. It is not something you want in your artificial mix, in your container mix. Do not put sand in there. And don't just go out in the yard and dig and put dirt in there from just anywhere in your garden. Now, our good friend Taxman used to talk about one of the things that he added as an ingredient, which I think is probably a pretty good ingredient. And that is he would, when leaves broke down, when leaves moldered down, and you know, if you had a bag of leaves and it had been sitting around and it had begun to break down pretty good, he would add that. And I would say maybe a quarter, maybe 25% you could do that, and it could almost substitute for the peat moss. So moldery leaves is good, but not when they've begun to break down in the soil and you got a bunch of sand in there, because you're going to get all those problems with mineral pieces in there. So there it is. It's very simple. Very simple if you're making your own. Basically 75% pine bark and 25% peat moss or something like that. Do you want to add nitrogen to that mix? With the chicken manure, you can. You can, but be very careful. Only small bits, or it's going to be too hot. And the other thing I would add to that, it's pretty important, is lime. And how much lime do you add? That's, you know, I always ask Martin about this, and I'm never sure I get it exactly right. But if you don't have lime already in the mix that you have, probably I'm going to say you're going to want to add about a cup to about a cup of lime to about 20 gallons. 15, 20 gallons, somewhere in there. That's going to be about right. A cup of lime, and stir it up, mix it up really good, maybe somewhere between 10 and 20 gallons. Somewhere in there, you're going to want to add the lime. I don't think you'll add too much because there's a lot of variables in there, and it'll get leached out. But about a cup for somewhere between 10 and 20 gallons of mixture, depending on what you got, and that'll help. It won't hurt to add a little bit of ashes, just a little bit of ashes in there. That's pretty fast-acting. That can help as well. And help to buffer it quickly. But that's it. Now, the other alternative is to go to the store. And that's what most of us do. I love the mix, as I've told you many, many times. I love the mix down at Shore Acres. It's a big bag of stuff. But Shore Acres Plant Farm down towards Bellingrath, they have a great mix that I used to use all the time. It lasted a long time. In a pot, it was perfect. I started my seeds in it. I had my big plants in it. It's what Oliver grows his plants in. It's a great mix, and I always recommend it. You can buy some plants while you're down there at Shore Acres. Great place to go for annuals and other things. Plus, they're great soil mix, and they sell it in big bags. Or you can go to to other places that sell smaller bags, and That's fine, too, as long as, and be sure to ask, as long as it's about 75% pine bark. You can look on the bag. The Miracle-Gro bags are fine. I don't like them because they have too much nitrogen in them, and that's a problem for some plants, but you can use those. Don't let me put you off. Just go get a bag of potting soil. Make sure it's got plenty of pine bark, as most of it does. It's commercial. Don't get anything too fancy or too weird or too natural. A lot of the natural things actually have are designed for being natural in Michigan. They don't do well down here. They gum up. They get too heavy too quickly. So there it is. Good. Amy is from Birmingham is calling. She's a beginning gardener. I'm going to get to Amy. Will you hold on for just a second? Because I'd love to talk with you, but we're going to have to take a break here in just a minute, and I don't want to miss that. Meanwhile, I will say that the little peat pots, the little expandable peat pots, are a great idea. They're kind of expensive. I don't know that they're better than other things. I think they work just about as well as anything. And it's a great way to get started. Feel free to do that. Hey, we'll be back.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
All right. So a lot of interesting questions about soil that we're answering this morning. Let me talk to you about, because Barry's been asking me this for a couple of weeks, and I've been I've been dodging Barry. That's the honest truth. I just have been dodging. Because I don't know, and here's the interesting thing about the Baldwin County landfill. They will tell you what's not in it. They'll tell you a few things that are not in it, but they're not really telling you what is in it. And that's a problem. And I don't know what's in it, and neither do you. And I'm not sure, and this is no slight, I'm not sure they know exactly what's in it. Because it probably varies from load to load, because it's pieces of broken down limbs and other things, and so it's going to be a little bit unpredictable. I don't think it includes any human waste. I'm not worried about any of that. It's just compost. I would not use it to grow plants in pots. That I'm sure of. I feel very confident in saying that. Because it's not formulated really for that, and they probably haven't thought about it that well. They're selling it as compost, not as potting soil, and that means I would take it and you could use it on the garden, on top of the garden. I don't even know if I would be inclined to dig it in. I would use it on top of the garden, and it's probably If that's the way I would do it, is to use it on top of the garden. I would be cautious about digging it in too much because I don't know how well it's broken down. And just use it on top of the garden as a dressing. And then put your mulch on top of that. So that's my thought. Just to think about, and that doesn't mean it's not good. It's not good for planting things in containers. I can just about guarantee you that. David likes the peat pots. Now, the peat pods, a little different, the things that pop up, and he's been using them for a decade, and that's great. They take up a good bit of space. I don't use them as much, but that doesn't mean they don't work. There it is. So we're going to... Amy, are you still there? Have
yes,
you been
I'm
patient?
Yes, I'm still there. I've got... Okay.
right. My name is Amy, and I'm in Birmingham.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you really well. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. Let me turn this. Okay, this is a simple question. I've sort of got a few of your articles, and there was one defined as mulch, the ultimate herbicide, and I don't know
yeah.
when it was written. And in it, I understand what you want. I think in one of the other ones you said that you put 4 feet of leaves in a bed. And then you define the dimensions of the bed, which I don't remember. But you make the simple way around, to prevent weeds, the simple way around all that is to never allow weeds to see the light of day. So what I understand you're using leaves for that for the purpose. Is there another substance that I could use? Like a cloth, if I couldn't get enough leaves. That's my question.
Sure. Well, yes, absolutely. Absolutely you can. Obviously pine straw works. I think leaves are pine straw works. If you can put it on deep enough. I don't think pine straw works quite as well as leaves for some types of seeds, but pine straw obviously works. There are a lot of people who put cloth down as a mulch. They'll put a cloth as a mulch, and they'll make that landscape fabric. Here's the problem.
What?
Is that stuff builds up on top of it, and things root through it. So it becomes a problem in the long run if you just put a cloth on there and don't put another.
I'm going to put as much leaves as I can. See,
yeah.
I can't get 4 feet of leaves, and then I thought I'd just put a cloth on top of that.
Sure, that's great. That's fine. That works great. You know, you can use a tarp. So here's the idea.
A tarp, I thought about that. Now, let me tell you, if you use pine straw, see, that would alter the acidity, wouldn't it? Because you put pine straw around blueberries and azaleas, right?
Yeah, Amy, are you ready for this? This is going to be a little complicated. Let me tell you something.
Well, I'll write down. I'll write down everything you tell me.
Our soil is very acid, normally. Your soil in Birmingham is incredibly acid. Unless we live in the Black Belt. There's some who live in the Black Belt. Your soil is already acid. When those pine needles break down, they actually decrease the acidity of the soil. Isn't that crazy?
Right.
Is that right? It's amazing. Now, they don't decrease it as much as leaves will. When leaves break down, they break down. The scale of pH is from 0 to about 14. Most plants grow really well between about 6, pH of 6, and a pH of 6.8. That's neutral. It's not quite neutral, but it's
okay,
a slightly acid. But that's what plants like. And
slightly
you know
acid.
What? Yeah, when pH when leaves break down, you know what they break down? What the pH is? It's about 6.5. Wow.
About what?
It's about 6.5.
I got it. I wrote down what
you said. And when pine needles break down, it's more like about 6.1.
Okay.
In either case, it's going to actually decrease the acidity in your soil because your soil is probably naturally around 5.5 or 5 before you add lime or anything like that. So you don't really need to worry about pine needles acidifying soil in our climate. They're actually going to they're going to make it less acidic.
I've been putting it around camellias, pine straw around camellias.
And it works great. It works great. It just basically supports the natural acidity of the soil. And camellias and azaleas like it a little more acid, somewhere between 5.5 and 6. And they're gonna love the pine needles.
Okay, I can do that.
But no, you don't need to worry about the pH factor with this compost. Now, the quantity of leaves that is needed that you need to get rid of the weeds, it doesn't need to be 4 feet high. It can help, and I prescribe that because about 4 feet by 4 feet by 4 feet, What happens is you get a natural composting effect.
And, oh, I see and, what you're doing. You start to make
it retains the heat. So we're going ahead and making the compost there, and you're going to get enough extra compost to create some soil. But if you just want to kill the weeds, put on a couple of feet of leaves. It'll kill the weeds.
Okay, I can probably do that. All right, a couple of feet.
And then put a tarp, and then if you're worried about it, put
a couple of feet on there.
And then put a dark top.
Leaves, put a tarp over it a little bit and keep the sunlight
that's
out.
Right.
It's the
that's
sunlight.
Right. That's right.
It makes
it's
weeds grow, right?
That's right.
That was the clue. I underlined that. I thought that was the most.
You know, let me tell you something else I do. Let me tell you something else I do. And this is kind of fun. So I've got some pathways, and I got Bermuda grass in the pathways. Nothing annoys me more than Bermuda grass. Good Lord, it is such a mess because it gets in my beds. You know what I do in those pathways? I take I took cardboard boxes.
Yeah, you could do that, cardboard boxes.
And I laid them down, and it killed the Bermuda grass. It killed everything else. It's just amazing. It's amazing. And I mean, plants are all about sunlight. And so you block the sunlight.
Like photosynthesis. Yeah, I just never thought of that.
Right. So there it is.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Okay. Well, I'm ahead of the game. All right. Well, I thank you very much. What's going on?
Amy, good luck. All right. Keep calling. Good to hear from you. So there it is. Is there a preferred mulch for acid-loving plants in a yard that is not acidic? So let's that's a hard question to answer. Let's assume that you're let's say you're in the Black Belt. There aren't many places in Alabama, and Alabama has a lot of limestone, and that's what's really cool about Alabama. But one of the interesting things about being in a high rainfall climate is that your soil becomes naturally acidic very quickly. And you're gonna fire me if I try to tell you why rainfall makes things more acidic. But it has to do with hydrogen ions, and you want me to stop there, don't you? But here's the thing. Rainfall leaches, let's just say it leaches some of these components out of the soil, and it makes the soil more acidic as a result. So even in areas with lots of limestone, like the Black Belt, which has a lot of limestone, not everywhere, but areas where the old prairies were, there's a lot of limestone. Where you get the chalk, it's a lot of limestone. St. Stephen's got a lot of limestone there for a similar reason. Ooh, we could talk all day about those kind of limestone areas. Tennessee Valley, a lot of limestone there. The limestone valleys around in the Talladega Mountains got a lot of limestone there. All that's fine. We can talk about why. Boy, let's just have a show where we talk about nothing but why Alabama's got so much limestone. But most of Alabama is acidic. And even in the areas that do have a lot of limestone, the soil tends to be acidic because of the leaching effect of rain. If you wanted to put a mulch on that made things more acidic, as long as you don't have a lot of limestone sitting under it, almost anything's going to work. Leaves will work. Everything will work. Pine bark will work. It's all going to be just fine. Now, let me tell you about my experience at Dad's. Dad had a garden in the Black Belt, and I spent a lot of time in that garden. I love that garden. That was a great garden. Boy, was that a great garden. But it was in the Black Belt. And it's got prairie soils, and they are high in lime. They have a lot of lime. They have a high pH. The natural pH of some of those soils was as high as 7.5, 7.8. Some may have been nearly 8. And if you wanted to grow blueberries, you had a tough time because blueberries, like most plants, like acidic soil, and they like it slightly more acidic than most plants. So they like it around 5.5. And they also like lots of other things. So how did I do that? Here's what I would have to do. I would go get pine bark and put a layer of pine bark on, six or 12 inches deep, 6 to 12 inches deep, and plant the blueberries right in that. And every year I would have to add organic matter to that in the form of, if there was an old tree that was rotting down, I'd put it on top of there. I'd have to add more pine bark. And it can be done. But you'd have to almost do it in straight pine bark and not try to turn that into the soil, not try to amend the soil, but just grow it on top. And it'll be fine. It'll do okay. It's not going to be as easy as if you had the acid soil that you see in other places in Alabama. On the other hand, that limestone can do crazy good stuff with a lot of other plants. And it's a lot of fun. Ooh, we could talk a long time about limestone. You don't want me to get into that, do you?
Everything I got is done and gone.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
All right. Welcome back. Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. Listen, Amy, in Fairhope, I guess she's over in Fairhope, somewhere around over in there, sent me a beautiful Christmas card last week. It is a Christmas card that just tickles my heart. And I hadn't noticed it until this week. She sent it by text. It is a picture of is that a mastodon? I think it's a mastodon. It is absolutely beautiful. Roaming through a scene, a savanna that I can imagine was the Gulf Coast. It was really nice to see that. Thank you, Amy. Amy, I am perplexed a little bit by your question about the mulch. And so give me a call sometime. And I don't know if we've got time to sort it out today, but let's talk a little bit about that. Most soils, it's very hard in Baldwin County to find any soil that is going to be too acidic for camellias or anything else. Azaleas, it's too limey. It's just hard to make those soils too limey because they leach really well. They're pretty sandy, and they leach pretty well. They have very little buffering, natural buffering, and so you're going to be okay unless you live on a shell mound, unless there's a shell mound underneath, and that's an entirely different thing and kind of a fun way to think about things. But otherwise, I don't think you're going to have a lime problem unless you're in, say, around Jackson, Alabama, where there's some prairies up towards Grove Hill and in all that area, you'll see some limey soils. You'll see them again in the Black Belt, and then you'll see them again most prominently in the Tennessee Valley. But otherwise, you shouldn't have that. Should not be a worry. Listen, I have to finish my harangue, and this is a good harangue. This is where I'm useful. Is this harangue for you? It is. I beg you to listen to this harangue. This is not your mother's harangue. This is my harangue. This is every year. Get your tomatoes started, folks. It's the time. It is the time. David's working on it, aren't you, David? A lot of folks are working on it. Because if you're going to get your tomatoes, if you're going to grow tomatoes from seed, if you're going to grow peppers from seed, you got to start them right now inside on the windowsill, or you're not going to have enough time. I can do the math for you. The math is, but let's start here. If you're on the Gulf Coast, you've got to get those tomatoes in the ground by March 15th, preferably sooner. If the temperature is right, it's going to be a little sooner. And what do you, you know, how are you going to get those plants up to size if you don't start them now? You just do the math. it really takes about 6 weeks. It really takes about 6 weeks to get those plants up to size. I prefer, you know, if that's assuming everything goes right, and it probably won't. You're probably going to need 7 weeks. And that's why you need to start them right now, 7 or 8 weeks, and they'll be the right size to go out the 1st of March. The same is true for your peppers, certainly for bell peppers, but most other peppers, because peppers take even longer to get started. They need warm temperature. So you want to start them now on your windowsill. Can we say that? Parsley, it's a great time of year to start parsley inside. Go ahead and start it inside. Nasturtiums, great time to start nasturtiums inside. If you do nasturtiums now, or you don't bother. You got to get them started now. You can start lettuce inside. You can start it inside right now. Just start it in a pot because it comes up quickly. Go ahead and put it outside. It'll do fine. It'll be great. And I said I was going to talk about, you can start broccoli inside right now. And I think it'll do okay. I think it'll do fine. But here's what I would recommend instead. This time of year, I think of broccoli as a fall and winter crop for us. We plant it in summer, August, early August, so that we'll have it ready for Thanksgiving and December and January and February and March. But if I'm going to start broccoli now, I'm going to go with something. I'm going to go with either with a broccolini or with rapini. Rapini. Broccoli rob. Because it'll form heads. It'll form nice little flowers. It's really great. And it is a perfectly time for this time of year. Broccoli rob. Look at broccoli rob. And you can sow that right in the garden. Sow it right in the garden right now. You don't have to worry about anything. Just put it in the garden. That's the thing to do. Marigolds, we talked about starting marigolds now. It's about time to do it. There's no reason not to go ahead and get them started now. Petunias, if you're going to do petunias, lots of fun things to plant right now. And of course, please, please, please don't forget about the peas. What a great time to plant peas. We started out the show with that. It's a great thing to do. In Summerdale, we have a, is that Winston? I'm sorry, I didn't get the name, but let's try to get this call in from Summerdale. I'm listening. What's up?
Yes, sir. First time caller. Got a question about a sweet olive. When yep. I purchased a house, it was a new construction a couple of years ago. My wife wanted a sweet olive tree, bush, whatever, and we didn't really have a clear plan as to where it was going to go for a permanent. So we just kind of stuck it in the ground and, you know, kind of put it in the middle of the yard and just let it be for a while. And then, you know, 6 months or a year later, we figured out where we wanted it and we moved it. So the spot where it was temporarily, we had filled in the hole with some, you know, decent soil and stuck a little piece of sod in there. To get it to grow back together, but ever since then, and this is like a year now has gone by, my dogs and my cats go to that spot and dig it up again and again and again, and so I just have this one spot that I can't get the grass to grow back because my pets keep digging it up. I was curious if there was something about that particular plant, or if there was something I could
we're
do.
We're going to run out of time. Let me jump in, but let me say no. I'm pretty sure it has nothing to do with the sweet olive at all. I think it has to do with the fact that the soil is soft and that whatever you added to the soil is nice and soft and may have had something in there interesting to smell that they were digging in, but I don't think it would be the sweet olive at all. And we're running out of time. Call me back next week if you think it's a bigger issue, and let's talk about it a little more. But I'm sure it's not the sweet olive.
Okay.
Hey.
All right.
Thank you. We'll be back next week. Save your questions up and get your seeds planted. Well, I'm sorry, my son.